from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie today. Maggie's on vacation. We are getting down to the end of the Maggie and Perloff Show Great Sitcom Bracket. We've been voting on the best sitcom of all time. We're in the Sweet 16. It is July, of course. We will get into Jordan Love's contract and LeBron at the Olympics and all that. But we have some breaking news here on the sitcom bracket. I got to be honest, I am very surprised by one of the results yesterday, Bogus. There's 8 minutes left in voting, but it looks like we have I Love Lucy is at 51.1% and The Fresh Prince at 48.9%. The older shows have not done well in this bracket, but I Love Lucy, coming off the top rope, looks like they could get into the Elite Eight. Are you surprised?
I am a little surprised. Now, I think, in my mind, I Love Lucy got a break here by having to face Fresh Prince in this Sweet 16 matchup. It's the only tight one of the four that are still out there from yesterday's show. And, this is almost like recount territory for the Fresh Prince people. You can almost demand to go back to the drawing board and make sure all the votes were cast correctly, because this is as tight as they come. Either way, though, I don't think the winner of this survives the next round.
No, Seinfeld's done very well in our voting.
But still, you want to go as far as you possibly can, and I am a little surprised I Love Lucy is hanging this strong.
Okay, the other results you mentioned, The Simpsons is blowing away The Jeffersons. The Office is blowing away The Family Guy. What's the other result?
There's Seinfeld over That 70s Show.
Oh, Seinfeld over That 70s Show. No surprise. The recent shows have done well. Maggie is an I Love Lucy fan. She claims to be. I don't know if she actually watches a lot of it, because it's not on that much. I find all those 50s sitcoms a little bit too negative for my taste. I feel like the couples all hate each other's guts and threaten violence at all times, and I don't think it translates today. Pete Pilates over there, you probably disagree with that. You're a big honeymoon.
Definitely does.
I disagree with that. I don't think it's, it preaches violence.
It sort of does. I mean, what is Jackie Gleason's joke in The Honeymoon?
Kisser.
Yeah. Right. Right,
it's
like
a
you can't.
Time. You gotta. Watch
it's a different time.
The
it's like, honey,
times.
Honey, can you put the cup away? Oh, Alice,
to the moon, Alice,
to the moon. I'm gonna go to the bar for 3 days.
Why?
I can't believe you want me to
clean
do
my
this.
Clothes.
Condoning it. Yeah. I'm just saying it was a different time.
I was saying,
what does that mean? A different time.
It was 60, 70 years ago, bro.
I've said this from the beginning. You gotta watch these shows as if you're in that era. That's how I watch all these shows.
Right, so you time travel to a place where it was funny to threaten your spouse.
No, it's whatever.
Pal right in the kisser, all right, honey?
Yeah. What do you mean, what about threat violence? That's the main joke of the show, to the moon, right? Lucy and Desi, I would say to Bogus, if I talked to my wife like Desi talked to Lucy, we would have been divorced the day after we got married. Like, he is so rude.
I would have gotten shanked by my wife did any of these things.
I've met Bogus's wife. You'd be a dead man. I'd be sitting next
She's
to someone else right now.
She's looking to stab
now.
Somebody. I don't want to give her any reasons.
How about the bullying and the violence of the Three Stooges, by the way? That show, some of the stuff they do there.
Show's
like,
overrated.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Three Stooges. There are Three Stooges fans out there. Notice we didn't even consider that. That's way too old school.
Abbott Costello is better than them.
Yes, there are great shows. But anyway, the voting has destroyed these black and white, these old shows, except for I Love Lucy is sort of, it is obviously having a woman. It was a pioneering show. And I've seen really funny scenes. Lucille is funny, but I just think that, can't everybody get along in these sitcoms? I saw an article the other day that Ted Lasso has ruined TV because we had all these great negative shows like The Sopranos and Breaking Bad, where everybody gets killed and everyone's evil. And then everyone got tired of that, and Ted Lasso came along. Jason Sudeikis playing a soccer coach, and he was so positive to everybody, and everyone loved that. It's like finally a breath of fresh air, and now we have nothing but positive shows. And a TV critic said that's killed television.
We're too nice. We want to go back to the good old days where you threatened domestic violence.
Well, I mean, listen, there was this era.
At it.
This was era in The Sopranos where you know, characters get killed left and right, and Breaking Bad. That you have to admit, there was some dark, dark television.
And by the way, I know Perloff is like, oh, you know, the shows back in the day were so dark and so, and, you know, whatever. Your favorite show is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's not like those characters are like the nicest to each other or that there isn't threats of violence on that show.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And
but
also,
it's funnier threats of violence.
No, it's they're making fun of this sort of whole genre of sitcoms.
Right. Like they, right. They're almost in on the joke.
They're in on the joke. They're critiquing this. Everything they do, a show like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and The Simpsons and Family Guy, just because their characters act like jerks, that they're critiquing it. Kind of the All in the Family formula, right, Bogus?
Yeah. And if you're, I don't know, we have the Zoom screen up in our studio, so I was, I think maybe people could see us coming back from break, but we were both hysterically laughing because we were talking about one of our favorite It's Always Sunny scenes.
Yeah.
And in my guess, that's funnier than anything that's ever been on I Love Lucy.
But it's a niche show. Not everybody. It's not a wide.
No, Milksteak is funny for everybody.
I got to tell you, I think we underestimated, EJ and I have argued about this a few times. I think the Chuck Lorre shows like Two and a Half Men and Big Bang Theory, they should have been higher seeds because they have such universal appeal. Isn't that important?
I think so. I mean, so Big Bang Theory is funny, but like I never was like, oh, I gotta go watch that. And it's on now in syndication, and I don't watch it, but I understand that it's funny. And I think it like there were to me a lot of shows in like the teens of your seeds that were way undervalued.
Yeah,
and
fair.
That was one of them.
Fair, but EJ has a good point. The top seeds have gotten through. It does seem like the top five or six seeds are very strong. So today in the Cheers region. And you can go vote very soon on Maggie and Pearl's Twitter feed, at Maggie and Pearl. Number one, Cheers. Let's hear a little bit of Norm talking to Cliffy.
Cliff, I don't believe this. You're meeting a woman in 15 minutes? I don't believe how calm you are.
Oh, hey, come on, Norm. Don't tell me that you two subscribe to that myth about my discomfiture with women.
Cliffy, I was here one night. A woman asked you what time it was. You swallowed the lower half of your face.
Cliff being on Jeopardy, of course, is one of the all-time sitcom episodes. All right, and they're going up against number five seed, Happy Days. Here's Fonzie.
The entire time you've known me, have you ever seen me in a fight?
Well, no, but that's always because the other guy backs down first.
I rest my case.
Do you think that could work for me?
Cunningham, with that howdy-doody face, you can only be so tough.
That's actually pretty funny. You know, the irony of that whole thing, Henry Winkler, who plays the Fonz, is the nicest person I've ever met in my entire life, by far. There's not even a close second.
And a show that probably should have gotten mentioned somewhere in here. I don't know what the tournament would be under the bit. Is that the CIT? But Barry, which Henry Winkler is in now on HBO, is a phenomenal show. And he's so good in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't be less Fonzie.
Yeah, and how about when he's the coach and the water boy? A huge Henry Winkler fan. Okay.
Get a raid.
All right, number 11 seed, Married with Children. I assume
the true Cinderella in this bracket, I feel like.
Talking about sort of retro values, let's hear from Al Bundy.
Took me 10 years to save for this. Cutting corners for years. Using the same razor blade. Using the same TV guide. Reusing the same mouthwash. And now, finally, fruits of my suffering.
Well, I thought we were the fruits of your suffering, Daddy.
No, you're the vegetables of my suffering.
There we go. Some old school cruelty out of the father. That's why that show was so great. They're going up against number two, Friends.
I know she's going to want to run again. I don't know how to get out of it. I mean, I live with her. Why don't you just be straight with her? Tell her the truth.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right, I should just tell her the truth. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Fitz, Monica tripped me. I don't think I can ever run again, ever.
Phoebe Running, it's a great bit. I'm going to defend Friends for forever. Your friend Joe Flint was on Friday, said it was the most overrated show of all time. Yes. Others have taken shots at it. I completely disagree, but it's in trouble in this matchup.
What? I don't understand Phoebe Running.
You've never seen it?
No, what happened?
Oh, she like runs. She and Rachel start exercising, and she runs with like her arms and legs going all different directions. Everyone's like looking at her, and like the whole part is Rachel's embarrassed to run next to her because she runs like... Mm.
So they stole
her doofus.
They stole Elaine dancing from Seinfeld, basically.
No.
Sounds like they stole it.
No.
One of my favorite Friends facts is that Paul Rudd was on the last episode because he was Phoebe's boyfriend.
Yes.
And like he is not a part of that cast in any real way.
Almost, I think, in the last scene, not even the last episode. Like he's on the stage. They're all saying goodbye in the apartment, I think.
I've heard him talk about it so awkwardly. He's like, yeah, I was there. Okay, we're also doing the MASH region today. Number one seed, MASH. Let's hear from Hawkeye.
Well, everybody knows war is hell. Remember, you heard it here last. War isn't hell. War is war and hell is hell. And of the two, war is a lot worse.
How do you figure that, Hawkeye?
Easy, Father. Tell me, who goes to hell?
Well, sinners, I believe.
Exactly. There are no innocent bystanders in hell.
Yeah, that's a show that could not be made today. Specifically because the Army and Navy advertise on pretty much every network. Going against number four, The Cosby Show.
This is the kind of woman you want to end up with.
No! I would like to date a few girls like Tammy. But later on, I'd like to settle down with someone like you.
Really? What am I like?
You're smart, you make a lot of money, and you look good for your age.
If those are the kind of lines that you use, you're going to need every call in that magazine.
Okay. Very Freudian clip from Cosby Show. Theo was outright hysterical. Huge fan when I was a kid. Would not watch it today. I don't think they aired that show, talking about not aging well. Going up, the next matchup, Curb Your Enthusiasm, a six seed in the MASH region.
You're way outside the line. You're taking up two spaces.
I'm like an inch over the line.
No, you're a foot over the line. You're taking up two spaces. And the next car is also going to be taking up two spaces. Then you're going to leave. And then that car is going to get blamed. This is chaos. Society can't function like this.
What?
You have to be in the lines the way it's supposed to be.
Here's an idea. Why don't you mind your own business?
Well, I suppose that's an idea. Not a very good one, though.
Oh, no?
Just say, you know what? I'll do better next time.
Hmm. We all know that bit. Larry David, of course, going against number 10 seed, Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay, first thing we got to do is we got to take your picture for the profile. So,
So do you have the makeup?
Yeah.
Oh, no makeup. Come
well,
on.
Those Every hornet stings are pretty bad, buddy.
Yeah,
so I think we're going to
I am who I am.
Right, but let's do who you
let's
are.
Let's pretend like you're not who you are and just try to attract a woman.
Of course, that's Charlie Day. You might know him from the movie Horrible Bosses. Andrew Bogus, you have to realize a lot of people do not watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's on
Shame
FX.
Shame on them.
If it's on FX, but it's been running for like 16 years. It is dark and funny, and I like it because it's got Philadelphia in the title. I think Curb wins this matchup.
So I do think Curb's going to win it. I also think that this is as good as you can ask for in a Sweet 16. I think both might be underseeded as a 6 and a 10. Like, this could be a Final Four matchup. And I'm not a Seinfeld Curb guy. But I understand the value of Curb, and I understand the value of Seinfeld, obviously, and I love It's Always Sunny. So this is a 6-10 Sweet 16 is darn good, but it's worthy of something deeper in the bracket between these two shows.
All right, well, we'll see. You can vote at Maggie and Pearl or give us a call, 855-212-4227. We were also talking a lot today about LeBron and Olympic basketball. I mean, LeBron does look good, but anyone who thinks he looks like a 25-year-old LeBron, like, he's dunking the ball, Bogus, and he's getting an inch over the basket. I'm just going to say it. He's like an athletic Draymond Green
so
right now.
So your new take is that he's not jumping high. I don't understand. Who are you arguing against? Who is arguing? Who's saying that there's a 25-year-old LeBron leading Team USA right now? Who's
are you kidding
that?
Me? I saw 50 headlines. LeBron saves Team USA.
He did.
I just think that people are not watching their exhibition games, do not think that LeBron is like spry young LeBron. The game is different now.
No,
he's not the same LeBron.
Right, but I think that's why people are like, oh my God, he just won two games. Now, they don't matter, but he decided that they weren't going to lose Saturday or yesterday, and he played well enough to win. I think like it's a, oh my God, how is he still doing that? Not, look at how young he is.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Oregon here. Kevin, what do you think of Team USA men's basketball?
Well, first of all,
Curb Your Enthusiasm with the pubic hair was one of the funniest episodes.
Okay.
Well, what I was going to say is I don't think there's any doubt that the USA basketball team has the most talent of any of the teams that are going to be in the tournament, but they're not playing like a team. I mean, they almost got beat by South Sudan. They almost got beat by Germany. And I think they're going to get beat. I think they're vulnerable. It's sort of like in the NCAA tournament when they had teams that had guys that were seniors that played 4 years together against these teams that had guys that were one and done. They got beat. I think it's going to be the same sort of thing. These national teams that have played together as a team a lot are going to have an advantage over the USA team, I think.
Have you watched any, Kevin? What do you think of LeBron so far?
You know, he's playing great, but he's one guy. And it seems to me that's kind of what it's like. It's a one-on-one game for those guys. And I don't think they can win playing that way.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I mean, that's a function. The Olympic team is basically bogus, an all-star team. So you do have that problem where the other teams have played together more and they know their rotations and there's role players. It's really hard. I've always found it hard, even the Dream Team. It's hard to do that with a men's Olympic team for USA.
Right. And I guess part of my objection to the these are problems, but I don't think it leads to or requires changes to the setup, because the players aren't going to change the setup. They're not going to go back into a world where there are legitimate open tryouts for spots. I don't think everyone's going to sign up to play in the next World Cup the year before the next Olympics, because they're not going to want to play back-to-back summers. So this is where it's going to be. And it's why they're playing, is it 5 or 6 of these tune-up games? So they're not just walking into their first real game on Sunday against Serbia with no preparation. Now, in this particular setup, as good as everyone believes Kevin Durant's going to be when he shows back up and how impactful he has been in the past, now on top of what is already, and they'll confirm, figuring out rotation and stuff like that, now they're throwing another guy into the mix, which resets the conversation a little bit. And they're out of tune-up games. So, that's a new thing that they're going to figure out on the fly to get through this first batch of games. But I still think it ends up, they're still the favorite.
Sure.
And I still think they're going to win. Yeah, they're more vulnerable. But I think they're more vulnerable because the other nations are catching up. And maybe the last 4 or 5 guys on the USA roster are not that much better than the other guys in the middle of other teams' roster. We think they are because they're NBA players, but maybe they're not. The gap between them isn't that big.
Yeah, but just the counter. I know there are a lot of NBA players on the other teams, but they're all spread out over different teams. You just said that Germany team that won the supposed award.
Yeah, 4 NBA players.
I mean, yeah, Schroeder or Daniel Tice and
the 2 Wagners. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I agree, but this
does any of those players even in a million years make the USA team?
But we just did this the last time the Olympics. They lost a game to Nigeria and everyone freaked out, and then they won. This is just the pattern that they go through.
Yeah,
and Pearl, Team USA last year had 12 NBA players and they lost to those 4 NBA players. So I think to say that, okay, well, they only got 4 German guys that are in the NBA, that we've shown that doesn't matter because we can still lose to those caliber teams.
I don't know where that voice came from, because I'm from this point on, EJ, and I'm just kidding, EJ is, of course, at home weighing in with knee injury. At this point, I am refusing to acknowledge there is such a thing as a basketball World Cup. We have to call it something else, because if you're just in your car and you hear World Cup, you're thinking, of course USA didn't win. We never win the World Cup, because there's only one World Cup, and it's soccer. So stop with the World Cup. All right, EJ, no, I understand what you're saying, and I think it is a valid point. But USA, I think we all agree USA should win this. I just think there's varying degrees of nerves in this building right now. I think EJ thinks that they could get upset. Bogus, I think you think there's a chance they get upset. I think I'm going to be the pro-USA one here. They're not getting upset. I mean, come on. It's going to be easier than you guys think. These were exhibition games. Kerr is still trying to figure out the rotation. Joel Embiid's playing himself into shape. I decided that this is much ado about nothing, because you guys are protesting too much and bringing up this World Cup with Mikal Bridges. And
no.
It doesn't matter to me.
Don't put me on this side. I'm with you here.
Okay.
I would be stunned if they didn't win this. My only allowance is for, yes, on a particular day, almost anyone can lose. But I think when they're in danger, one of the five all-time players at the top of that roster is going to make sure they don't lose, because that's why they keep winning gold medals.
I've actually watched a lot of these warm-up games, and I got to tell you, the team around Jokic and Serbia, not good. The Canada team, they are, I was going to root for them. They are completely underwhelming. I just think that these Germany, I watched Dennis Schroeder, like he's going to be able to carry them in the end of the game. I just don't think the international teams are that spectacular right now.
And maybe this is me overvaluing a single game, but they play South Sudan again in the group stage. It's their middle game. Let's see how that one goes. If that one again is 101-100 and all those same things play out, then maybe there's a little more room for worrying about this team. It's not the overall program, but this team. But if they, as I'm guessing, smoke South Sudan because that one actually matters, then that's exactly why I'm not worried about things right now.
EJ, real quick, we have to take a break. But is there
your mic's not is broken? Maybe. Oh no, there you go.
Yeah, EJ, real quick, we have to take a break. Yeah. Is there a foreign team that you think is the biggest challenge? You have one team you're watching.
Canada is the team that would worry me the most.
Canada, I mean, okay.
They have the most talent, and they beat Team USA, eliminated them in the, I'll call it World Championship, since Perloff hates the World Cup. You know, the international competition they just played, the U.S. lost in a third-round game or third-place game against Canada. So that would be the team I'd be worried about. Real quickly, though, like, I know we talk about the Schroeders and the Wagners and all these guys. Those guys play much better on their national teams than they do in their NBA teams. I mean, we've seen this now for the last 10, 15 years. These guys that are middling NBA players show up in their country's colors, and all of a sudden they look like NBA All-Stars. So I wouldn't just discount some of these guys when they're playing for those teams. They just play with more confidence.
Yeah.
It's a different game. They're used to that kind of international play. It's just a different situation.
Yeah, it's not World Cup unless Messi is there. I'm not going to listen to this. All right, coming up, we have more college football media days, including a big fight in the ACC. That's next, Maggie and Pearl.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Bob Show. Wow, we had drama in the greatest sitcom ever bracket on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back. I Love Lucy beat Fresh Prince, voting just closed, 50.6% to 49.4%. I Love Lucy advances to the Elite Eight. I can't believe it. This is huge news.
Is that the closest vote that you can remember?
Absolutely. There have been 51-49s, but this is 50-50, basically. Recount here. So Fresh Prince goes down. I Love Lucy advances to face Seinfeld. You can go to Ed, Maggie, and Pearl and vote on this round, too. That's wild.
You also can vote at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter. Besides Maggie, who would make the best sports GM out of this group?
Yeah.
You and I in a dead heat at the top of the list. Pete comes in a very close third.
Thank you.
Then EJ, the self-proclaimed king of GMs, just 13% of the vote.
And of course, he walked away as we talked about this.
By the way, what percentage of current GMs went to Ivy League colleges? I think about 99%.
You think all of them?
Pretty much.
Right, so you're in. But EJ's younger and cooler than us.
Yeah, and he did take a Madden team to the finals. But right. I don't know the first thing about analytics, but I like to pretend that I do. I think that's a huge thing to be a modern general manager.
Just say analytics.
Yeah, just say we're using the analytics. Go for it on fourth down, et cetera.
Yeah, a little FIP. Just throw some acronyms out there. Don't know what they mean.
Yes. The funny thing is,
you're a big VORP guy, aren't you?
You're an analytics guy, aren't you? You kind of believe in analytics, but do you understand analytics? That's the key here.
I understand some analytics.
Right.
I'll be honest. I feel like basketball analytics and football I understand a little better than baseball, but I'm pro analytics. I'm not against analytics.
Baseball is the easiest one because it's a one-on-one relationship between the batter and the pitcher. Whatever. We're not going to. Football analytics are crazy because I don't understand Pro Football Focus who does this. The quarterback drops back. If the left tackle misses a block, the quarterback is not going to throw a 20-yard pass. There's so much teamwork in football. It is, I think, the hardest sport to really do analytics on.
Well, my brother does football analytics. Yeah. So if someone's doing it correctly, they should be accounting for those things. They
absolutely
should be accounting for receiver dropping pass, offensive lineman not making the right play if they're doing it well. The problem is, who's tracking it is just as important as the actual results. So sometimes you have people who track it, and then they'll have someone kind of check their work and be like, wait a minute, how did you get this guy this grade when we saw him miss four or five blocks? But like Pearl's mentioned all the time, also, you got to know the plays too, so it can be very complicated.
Right, so you have a much better chance to accurately track your own team as you know the plays. Bill Belichick himself came out and said Pro Football Focus was completely inaccurate, that teams do not use that. I'm a big fan of PFF. At least they're trying. It is hard to do. But I think my Ivy League, I was an English major. That's not going to help.
No.
My Ivy League background, which annoys most people, would actually make me a good GM. I could go into an owner. I could shake his hand and, talk the talk.
I think your Ivy League background, your clear athletic prowess is the combination that we need to run teams.
I mean, come on.
I'm surprised you're not on a team.
I'm basically the Howie Roseman of sports talk radio. I could run the Eagles, and I have some plans.
Okay.
I think that's a great thing about being a sports fan is we're all aspiring GMs.
Now, how about this? I think the collection of us could run a front office.
Really?
I agree with that.
What do we all bring to the table?
I think we all bring a little something that's different.
Right. Lunch.
Right.
But someone's got to be in charge. Still, we got to pick lead person.
I'll say Perloff in charge.
Well, I worry about
the background and experience and the Ivy League.
Now, Maggie would be great, too. I just worry about her emotions because she grew up a Bills fan. Just there's that seed of doubt that they're ever going to win. I'm not sure you want that in your GM.
Well, I think we have the emotional side of it, which would be me and Maggie.
Yeah.
And then you have Bogish and you have EJ, which brings up more a calm perspective to it. Yeah. And then you could be the culmination of
the front man. Okay, front I appreciate that.
Yeah, see, I would still vote for Maggie to be the front person. Like, we need Maggie needs to do the press conference.
I agree. That would be the person.
None of us could do it. We would all easily get frazzled and whatever. Maggie would stay for them. I think has the best chance of being cool, calm, and collected. Now, she might curse on occasion, but I also don't think she's going to accidentally tell a big secret either.
Right, but what if the camera goes to Maggie on the fourth quarter of a Bills game and she is in the owner's box throwing plates around? Do you really think she could keep her cool in that situation?
I think that would play very well with Bills Mafia. If she was doing the same thing that they were doing in that moment, that only is going to enhance her stature.
Okay.
Yeah, watching her throw like a cup when, Von Miller goes down again, the way they feel about certain players on their team, I think that would help. I think, though, the best way for us to do this would that it could be any of our team.
Right.
We'd all have to do what people have been saying, like run like the Rockies or something like that. A team that we don't actually, have any personal ties to. So therefore, we could all be objective. I agree. I think this team would be a great team. I think Maggie would be the person that should run it.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, we could obviously do a fantasy football tournament to figure out this quite easily.
How would Maggie have handled the Xavier Worthy video of yesterday, since she wanted him on the Bills so badly, and she was so mad that he's a Chief, and that he's catching 60-yard bombs on day one of camp?
Yeah, but there was something weird about that video. Did you notice he was wearing shorts? And you know what that means? Nothing. That means nothing.
Unless you're Maggie. And you wanted him on the Bills, and right now he looks like Jerry Rice.
Wow, yeah, but Keon Coleman looks like the greatest. I don't know how the Keon Coleman hype in Buffalo is insane. And I actually saw an Instagram video of him. That dude is the man, too. I don't know how all these guys fell. All right, let's get to some updates. Peter Schwartz.
Could I be the director of broadcasting for this
team? Nope.
No?
No.
Now, I keep telling you, you should be the right tackle. You got the size.
No, I don't want to play.
My girth is rather large.
He wouldn't pass a physical.
But you can't pull a Bronny because your kid is a football player. You can't have Bronny on the team.
No. I want to be the director of broadcasting. I want to hire the broadcasting.
And he'd hire himself.
No.
Much like EJ would make himself the GM.
Okay.
No, I would.
Who's the broadcast? Who are your
Kevin Burkhart.
But I think he's busy.
I think he's busy, too. I'd have to think about it. I didn't get the job yet, so I don't have to give you an answer on it.
And since we're paying for five GMs, we don't have the budget to break a Fox contract to get Burkhart for our team.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's a national contract, but you get to pick your preseason broadcasters on TV.
Right,
so,
and the radio team.
Yeah, and the radio team.
I'd have to put that team together.
I got it. How about Ross Tucker?
I'd consider Ross Tucker.
Yes.
Absolutely, 100%.
Who's the play-by-play guy?
Andrew Siciliano, formerly of the Red Zone.
Okay,
Great dude.
Spiro Dedis.
Yeah, those guys are already in high demand for preseason. Andrew Siciliano somehow does seven different teams in the preseason. And Ross Tucker, our friend, I know him well from the Dan Patrick Show. He literally calls a game 7 days a week and then somehow has four other jobs. He is a workhorse.
He's selling ball cannons and my front page stories.
Pictures about five other things.
Yeah.
We will start with baseball. We'll begin in Chicago.
And the 2-2. Driven in the air, right field. Back goes Frelick. Still going. That ball is gone. A line drive home run. Wow. Ian Happ. A sizzling liner.
That was the call on Cubs radio, and the Cubs beat the Brewers 3-1. Now to extra innings in Colorado.
0-1 pitch to Tovar.
Line into right field. It's a base hit. It's the ball game. Ezekiel Tovar with a walk-off single. And in 12 innings, the Rockies get the victory 9-8 in Game 1 against the Red Sox.
Jack Corrigan on Rockies Radio. Also last night, Dodgers beat the Giants 3-2. Teoscar Hernandez 3-for-4 with a homer and 3 RBI as LA has won 4 in a row. You had the Angels beating the Mariners 3-1. Ace topped the Astros 4-0. The Reds beat the Braves 4-1. Francisco Lindor hit 2 home runs. The Mets over the Marlins 6-4. The Yankees beat the Rays 9-1. 5 home runs, including 2 from Juan Soto. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips announcing yesterday that the league will fight lawsuits with Clemson and Florida over the league's withdrawal penalty and grant of rights.
We will fight to protect the ACC and our members for as long as it takes. We are confident in this league and that it will remain a premier conference in college athletics for the long-term future. These disputes continue to be extremely damaging, disruptive, and incredibly harmful to the league.
I don't think this is going to work out for the ACC.
It would have been cool if he said this like 18 months ago.
Yeah,
it seems too late to start throwing fists.
I just think they were too far down the road. I've seen some of the things that Clemson and Florida State are trying to do here. Yeah, it's in the court's hands. I just don't think the ACC is going to be able to keep this together on the football side at all.
No, it's too late. They're already too mad. They're already too far down the road. I don't know that they can do anything else. Like this year they have that incentive thing where if you play well, I think in any sport, maybe only football and basketball, but you can earn yourself more money by your on-field, on-court success.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only so much you can do like that. And the money that you can get, I think it's up to $20 million, doesn't still get you to what every SEC and Big Ten school is making.
They're like, way behind.
They were way too sweet and way too confident in their contracts for too long. And now I don't know that they can fix all of this.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, it's funny. The one saving grace is nobody wants Florida State, apparently, because they're not a great partner. But I still think that at some point soon, those two schools are going to break off and maybe more. And there's going to be more realignment. Eventually, I'm a believer that it'll be SEC and Big Ten. And Big Ten Media Day starts today. They're already huge. I think they get bigger. Right now, they say we're good where we are. But we will see. I just don't have faith in the ACC. And
Phillips believes in forceful leadership.
Forceful moments deserve forceful support and leadership. And I don't know that I've changed at all other than I stand by everything I've said, and either you believe in what's been signed or you don't.
And Phillips also says this does not have to be confrontational.
This thing doesn't have to be evil. This thing doesn't have to be about hatred and all the other things that I think we all see kind of just free-flowing in our societies. It's important, and we've taken our stance, and we'll stay on that stance, but we'll do it in a very respectful way.
And the ACC has filed countersuits against both schools. Move on to the NFL. Packers quarterback Jordan Love will not participate until a new deal is done. The Packers and Love said to be close to an agreement on a contract extension. The USA men's Olympic basketball team finished their pre-Olympic tour 5-0. They beat Germany 92-88. LeBron James had 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. The NBA could also stay with TNT, Warner Brothers Discovery, announcing they've matched Amazon's $1.8 billion per year offer, but still a question as to whether or not they can actually match the offer that Amazon Prime signed last week with the NBA.
Well, it's just wishful thinking. We got to keep Charles on TV. So whatever has to happen, get the lawyers on it, so Peter. Make it happen.
You think he reverses course and does not retire if TNT retains the package?
Yeah, I mean, I'm stealing this from Maggie. She says Charles is just playing hardball. No, I don't think he retires. I don't think he can put the mic down. He says he doesn't like it. He says he wants to go play golf and hang out, but he's an addict at the end of the day, just like every other broadcaster.
I love Charles. He loves hockey, so that's why big reason why I like him, too.
By the way, when I say addict, I mean he's addicted to having his opinion known. And he's all that positive reception he gets for every single thing he says, it's hard to turn that away. I mean, if you're Charles Barkley, why would you walk away?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he wants to just work less. So he's trying to maybe that's what he's hoping to get out of this, like less of a commitment to games. Because don't they do 2 nights a week now?
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
He wants to do less. But yeah,
they do 2 nights a week, but he only does 1, I believe.
Okay.
So like there's a B team with like
right
Shaq,
the Lefko
like
one
Jamal Crawford, yeah. And I say B team, they're all awesome too, but you know he only does 1 night a week.
Yeah, Adam Lefko on the other line saying who you calling B team, but I understand what you're saying. yeah, I think Charles though when he's there, he doesn't even watch the first half the time, but he's the only man honest enough to say it's like, man, I was watching Mazzoli and Isles. I did not watch that first half. When he does that, and he still does it on occasion, he's like, that was just too boring for me. I used to do it during the Spurs. It's the funniest. I think we're gonna have him in our lives for longer. I just can't imagine NBA without Charles Barkley.
Does he need could he just be in commercials, or does he need the NBA to keep him in everyone's consciousness to still sell me Capital One cards and stuff like that?
I don't know. Nicholas and Palmer did high price ads the rest of their career. I think, you know, he does that thing with Sam Jackson and Spike Lee.
Yeah.
I think he's recognizable enough, and his voice is so recognizable. I don't think he needs to be on TV, because you think of the people who are watching the Subway ads, they're not watching a TNT halftime show.
Yeah, I guess.
I also don't think he needs a network. Like, I feel like, you know, we've been talking about that he's got to go to Amazon, he stay at TNT, they get the rights. Like, he's floated the idea of, like, creating something of his own. Like, we see these individual podcasts or individual shows that come out. Like, I would be surprised if he decides to just do something once a week on his own platform, and that's how we get Charles Barkley's takes on the NBA. It'd be different, but I think he would still kill doing that.
Peter?
I would like to see that. Yes, 100%. Heat beat the Grizzlies 120-118 in overtime in the championship game of the NBA Summer League in Vegas. And Andy Murray announces he'll retire after the Paris Olympics.
All right, thank you, Peter. All right, coming up, my running back. You'll notice I'm wearing, if you're watching on Infinity Sports Network YouTube channel, Penn State football shirt.
Noted Philadelphia University.
Yes, my running back, Saquon Barkley, of course, went there. And he grew up, I believe, an Eagles fan. That is Eagles country. I'm claiming his Eagles country. He actually has very, very interesting comments on Hard Knocks. You're going to want to hear him. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie. We are very lucky. Later today, Diana Rossini will be in the house, stopping by the show. Her new podcast had a very revealing interview yesterday with Saquon Barkley. Now, Saquon Barkley left the Giants this offseason, is now a Philadelphia Eagle, my team. We got to see it all play out on Hard Knocks. And while it seemed like there was drama going on, the Giants didn't know what they were going to do. It doesn't seem like Saquon saw it the same way. Let's hear from Saquon Barkley in his interview with Diana Rossini.
It was over after that phone call, in my opinion.
As soon as he said to go hit the market,
I never in my heart truly believed that they were going to match it, or they only wanted me for a lower price. So, like, no matter what, I probably wasn't going to go back.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, Bogus, because I understand what he's saying, and the Giants did give lip service. I don't think they ever wanted him, and I think there was reasoning behind it. He is expensive for a running back, and to be honest, this is not a team that needs an expensive running back.
And isn't this good business to go, hey, listen, you think you're worth more than we think you're worth? Go out there and see if that's true or not, and see if somebody wants to pay you what you want. And if not, then we're sitting here waiting. Now, you and I have gone back and forth, I think only off the air, though, about what we hear Joe Shane say on the phone, on one of the phone calls. I think this is with Barkley's agent on last week's Hard Knocks. And I believe Saquon discusses it in this piece with Diana when Shane says, if we do 3 years at 12.5 and 25 mil guaranteed, is he a Giant? Right. I think that's Joe Shane unofficially making an offer to Saquon Barkley. You think it's 100% hypothetical and maybe even coming from Barkley's side.
No, I think he was trying to say, hey, if we match this number, would he go to the Giants? If we give the same money as the highest bidder, will he come to the Giants? Isn't that what he was saying?
I thought he was saying, like, if the offer is this, you guys will say yes to it.
We'll ask Diana, because I'm not sure that's exactly what it was. You have to understand, too, when you look at that number for Saquon, the contracts of the past, the running backs have signed in recent past, have not worked out. Le'Veon Bell to the Jets was a disaster. I think Derrick Henry got overpaid. Basically, there was a five-year span where every big contract for running backs did not work out. So the market went way down. Now guys like McCaffrey are getting paid, but generally there's a reason that running backs don't get paid. It's a position where, as Joe Shane pointed out, the more you play, the worse you get.
Yes, and Saquon, maybe it's unique, maybe it's not. Maybe I think it's unique because it happened here, but the Giants are better with him. Daniel Jones specifically is better with him. I think you're going to grow to love him with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that the Giants in this situation could not pay him what the Eagles did or what anyone else was considering doing with Saquon Barkley, because they had so many other issues to figure out.
Well, the way Hard Knocks painted it, they needed offensive line help, and they needed money for that. And they signed
another offensive lineman yesterday.
Yes, I feel like that is more important than Saquon Barkley. In fact, I know that's more important than Saquon Barkley. So are they going to miss him if they improve on the offensive line?
Yes, because they are far less worrisome as an offense without him. He was their best offensive player, and they have not replaced that.
Well, they got Devin Singletary, motor.
Yeah. Fine, not Saquon.
They got Malik Nabers, new weapon on the outside.
That's the thing.
And they have a healthy Daniel Jones who can run again.
Yeah.
That's how he was good 2 years ago. But if they give, listen, it's 2024, dude. You got to pass the ball. You can't have your quarterback throwing for 15 touchdowns and getting a $40 million contract. It's time to wake up and get this. At least give Daniel Jones a chance to show that he can be a passer in the NFL. Otherwise, what are you doing next year? You're just going to keep on going with Saquon and try and win 9 games?
Right, and now we're going to see, apparently tonight, we're going to see all of the different avenues they explore, the Giants did, to draft a quarterback or have a different quarterback on their horizon, on their roster.
That is interesting. There's been some really cool clues in this. We saw a line where it was in the teaser where somebody in the building says to Brian Daboll, would you trade up for Jaden Daniels? He could not have said yes faster. He's like, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
That was not going to happen because he was going to Washington. They love Malik Nabers. There was also a clip where Brian Daboll was watching Malik Nabers. It was at the combine. He goes, he's basically, hey, I watched our guy for 6 hours today. He's going to be great here in New York. I also think simultaneously they knew they were getting Nabers. I don't think they ever really thought they were drafting a quarterback, in my opinion.
Because I think they knew they couldn't get to three.
Yeah.
And they were not going to take McCarthy or Bo Nix. So they knew that they were staying at six and that Nabers was the pick. Not because they didn't want a quarterback more, just because they knew they couldn't get to three to take the one of the three guys that they wanted.
Well, it's funny. They did go over and talk to the Patriots at the combine.
Right.
Joe Shane walked over and talked to Elliott Wolf and said, hey, if you're shopping the three pick, please keep us in mind. Felt a little staged, actually. It was kind of weird.
It also sounded like presumptuous. Like Shane did that. It's the same thing as Barkley. Like, and at least with Saquon, like he's coming from in-house. They have a relationship. But to be like, hey, make sure you call me before you do anything at number three. I'm sure it said a lot, but it just felt, in that moment, it felt weird, like, because you have what to give. Like, it was just a weird,
well,
weird back and forth. I was wondering the whole time, too, the Patriots have to know he's mic'd in this setup. Yeah. The cameras couldn't go into their room, but they know this is going to be on the show.
Well, I mean, in reality, the Giants sat at number six in the draft, which would have been a valuable pick to the Patriots. If somebody was going to trade for that three pick, they need to have a high first-round pick. Because I don't think the Patriots were walking away with nothing. But the Patriots didn't have a quarterback. I don't even know why they were. They had to take a quarterback, and the early returns are great on Drake May. Apparently, he looked good in minicamp. He's got a gigantic head, as we saw in Hard Knocks.
Did you see that Caleb Williams didn't suck so far for the Bears, apparently?
Wait,
remember
how's
how
that?
Remember all those rumors how bad he was?
Yeah, yeah.
And now, in the first like 36 hours of camp, much improved. He really spent a lot. Whenever Tommy spent away from us, he did a really good job because he's not wetting himself during practice, apparently.
I know. And you know what? I'm a sucker. We're all suckers for any training camp. We're getting training camp reports. A lot of teams are in today, almost all of them. Later on in the show, we're going to talk to Diana Russini. He's going to share more details about Saquon Barkley. This, Bogus, I love, you're the one who got me excited about Giants offseason Hard Knocks.
It's
I thought
so
it was
good.
Okay.
No, it's
now
so
you're
good.
Into it.
I'm into it. I think it's really good. Even Saquon said it's been good.
He did? Okay.
He said it was interesting to see the HBO cameras in. He watched the full episode about him, and he said it was interesting and good to see it from inside the team perspective.
Well, here's the problem, though. I know you're a Giants fan. There's another football player in town who does not want to give up the news cycle, does not want to be second in headlines.
Who you're talking about?
Yeah, there is a guy who plays for the New York Jets who tends to make news. He was on with two good buddies of mine over a Part of My Take.
Name drop.
Well, I'd say one and a half good buddies of mine.
Still a name drop.
I don't know PFT that well, but he's awesome. We're going to talk Aaron Rodgers next. Maggie Perloff.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.